For news, I'm Garrett Giles.
Good morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener program, right here on K1, the one you trust. Today's program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels.
Welcome to the show, Green Country Gardener. I'm Garrett Giles. Joining us is Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb. Larry, it's getting cold outside.
Oh, tell me about it.
A little too cold for my liking, honestly.
Yes, I know. It's going to be a bit chilly this week, so it's kind of a week off coming up as far as the gardening is concerned, I would say. Our domain is going to be rather frozen solid for quite some time this week.
That was very accurate. Wind chill is going to make things pretty miserable, but we're going to survive somehow.
Anyway, typically on this week, what we should be doing, we should be concerned about bed cleanup, soil preparation, cutting back your clematis. The clematis vine is one that the new growth on it emerges rather quickly in the spring.
Right.
When it grows, it's kind of like bamboo. It just takes off. And the next thing you know, you're, I forgot to cut it back.
Oh, shoot.
But if the clematis is a little out of hand, you might consider trimming it back at this point. Because it will, despite what the weather's going to do this week, I imagine after the weather is, this week has passed through, the next 2 weeks actually is what they're saying.
Right.
Good night.
Jeez. Yeah, it's going to be pretty
I imagine things are just ready to bust out. I noticed even some bud swell on the maple trees and so on.
Yeah.
So hopefully, if it were to be warmer this last week, the maples would have continued their bud swell, and we wouldn't have any little helicopters gotten frozen off. the seeds can't develop if the flowers are frozen out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, they might have swollen enough to prevent a lot of that. It'd be nice if the oak trees would bloom and get zapped out like that, too, so we don't have all these acorns flying around everywhere. But anyway, so get the beds cleaned up. Good time for soil preparation on your annual beds. I know I need to do that on my annual beds in front. I always plant a bunch of flowers in the front. It makes the house look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got these maple trees that have a root system that's somewhat invasive, mainly
right.
Because I don't have any soil.
Yeah. Gotta get to it.
So they gotta get chow somehow, so they get into my annual bed. So anyway, that's gotta happen this time of year also. Preparation is very important, because when the time comes to plant the flowers, the hard work is beneath you, and then you can go ahead and enjoy the composition of the plants and the installation of the plants and the satisfaction of getting it done rather quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So get after it, get that prep done. Grapes, time to cut your grapes back if you have some grapevines. I have some, but they escaped up into the water oak, and the birds really enjoy them.
The grapes? Or
yeah, we planted them a long time ago. Really nice looking grapevines up on the pergola where they grew up into the tree, and we haven't had a grape yet, but
maybe soon, hopefully.
But the mockingbirds like it, so oh well, that's fine. So time to trim those back a little bit. And the honeysuckle vines, those that are maybe growing on the chain link fence or something, it's a good time to cut them back as well.
Okay.
It does tend to look a little bit on the wild side if it's not been trimmed for a while. And if it does look a little too rambunctious, you might consider cutting it back somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
So honeysuckle vines, too, can be trimmed back also. It's a little too early to cut back the ornamental grasses. I wouldn't do it this weekend because it is going to get a bit chilly, and they do need that extra blanket on top to try to preserve what little heat's in the ground. Thank you. and they have a better chance of surviving with a little bit of a blanket overhead. So don't trim back the ornamental grasses quite yet.
Right.
Kevin, same with your monkey grass. Don't cut it back yet. It's too early. So.
too early.
Anyway, on your fruit trees right now, time to spray and prune the fruit trees. Spray with the dormant oil. Copper fungicide typically is done in the first, middle of February or so. Time to do that around there. That's a good winter cleanup. Some of the problems we have with insects on fruit trees, the eggs of which overwinter, and the dormant oil is designed to smother those out. So reduce the population significantly so you don't have as much of a problem with mealybugs and scale and other nasty little insects.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too exciting if you don't deal with
it. Yeah, and that does help you keep them under control so you can enjoy some good fruit. Yeah, I have to do mine so I can have a good crop of plum jelly this year.
Ooh.
Can't wait. But
man,
anyway.
You're making me hungry.
We didn't get any last year because of the freeze. So this year, hopefully they won't bloom as early this year as they did last year. They
Hopefully not.
So anyway, for fruit trees, that's kind of what to do right now on that. It's a good time to consider maybe fertilizing your pecan trees.
Okay.
And maybe apply some extra zinc to them, getting time for that too. You have to get it in down into the root zone so it can take it up. So you have to think ahead of time on that. So before they emerge out, you might consider applying. We do have some zinc at the nursery you can apply to your pecans to help them out too.
Okay.
So in the lawn this week.
What should we do in the lawn this week?
That's it.
Nothing? Just do nothing?
Nothing.
just nothing.
You might do a post-emergent herbicide control.
Okay.
That would be a 2,4-D on your broadleaf weed or something. But other than that.
We had a little bit of a staring contest there for a minute.
So it's kind of a quiet time. I've had a lot of people with problems with moles too, and as the season progresses, their food source is eaten up, if you will.
Right.
And they're exploring more areas for food. So you might consider maybe some mole traps or some poison worms or something for the moles or the little buzzer things or all of the above to control them. They can be a little bit of a pest. So that's about the only thing going on in lawns other than dead air.
Yeah, dead.
Nothing going in the lawns this week. Waste. Now, you say, golly, I have a lot of weeds in my yard every year. How can I prevent that? The number one way to control weeds in lawn is a healthy turf grass.
Okay.
Number two method is proper weed controls. If you follow good practices as far as fertilization and watering in your lawn, don't water it too much. If you follow good watering and fertilization and mowing practices on your yard, the weeds shouldn't be too much of an issue. I know in my yard, I rarely have to apply any weed controls, at least post-emergent weed controls. I do a pre-emergent in the fall, and it did some good this year. There's a few weeds.
Okay.
But it's not an intolerable amount. It's not like you're overwhelmed by them. Just a few here and there. It's not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I got out of the truck though after work one day. Oh, a dandelion is in bloom. How pretty.
Time to get rid of it.
So anyway, so if you've got a few weeds in the lawn, it's not a big deal. But if you overrun with them, yeah, you need to do something too. So. And anyway, you want to wait on your crabgrass control until St. Patrick's Day. And grubworm control also a little bit later, too. If you do have a lot of moles, perhaps you have a grubworm population that's a little overwhelming, if you will. And that does cause some setback of your grass. And it also invites the moles in your yard, too.
Right.
So what you can do is pick a random square foot in your yard and get your shovel out. I know. Scrape all the dirt and rust off of it. It's been a while.
Sharpen it maybe a little bit.
Maybe, yeah, if you might have to. And then go down about 6 inches or so and take out a 1 foot section of soil and see if there are any grub worms in there. And if you've got anywhere from, say, 5 to 10, it's starting to get into an infestation. If you got one or two, that's no big deal. But if you've got a lot of them, you got what is considered an infestation.
Mm-hmm.
And you might want to do something about that, and that's going to happen here pretty soon too, but not quite yet.
Not quite.
So weeds in the lawn, grub worms in the lawn, and moles in the lawn are three things we really need to be probably concerned about in some cases. But there are ways to control them without just having to go overboard. You kind of be proactive a little bit and do a little investigation.
Can I get your detective glasses on?
I guess so. So,
I think Larry will take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Green Country Gardener Show.
Very good.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. We've had a reputation of we're the big gorilla, we're the largest rental company in the world, and we are. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get out of the order-taking philosophy. We need to find out what people need. We need to show them we have what they need, and then fix it up where they can come by and get it, or we can deliver it to them. Either way, 918-333-9580. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 Nowata Road. United Rentals.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
What do you do if you really need a better vehicle, but you have bad credit? Come talk with your friends at Roman Chevrolet Buick in Independence. Roman's not only has the ability, but also the desire to get anyone approved for a vehicle. They are your one-stop shop. They'll buy your old vehicle, help you find a great ride, and now help with financing, no matter how bad your credit is. Get more details from Roman Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence. Roman's, with financing for everyone.
You've heard it said.
I saw it on the radio.
Well, that's true.
But now the radio can be your computer,
your smartphone,
tablet, or any internet-connected device.
Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner.
And you won't miss a minute of news, sports, or entertainment.
You can take us with you anywhere in the world. We're AM 1400, FM 93.3, K1, the one you trust, and your constant online companion.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. Hopefully you're having a good Saturday morning so far. We're joined by Larry Glatz. If you have any gardening questions for him, call us at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We want to hear from you this morning. Now, Larry, what should people know about the shrubs this week?
Make sure they're pretty well watered going into this cold spell. Mm-hmm. It's been not too long since we've had some rain, so the moisture levels, as I've experienced this week, levels are pretty good in the ground. So you probably don't have to be overly concerned unless the shrubs are relatively close to the house, mm-hmm. especially underneath the eave of the house. It's getting a little bit on the dry side. And with the approach of single digits, it could cause some damage to some of your shrubs, especially the newly planted ones. So you need to be aware of the moisture content at this point. It's good for your foundation, too, to maintain kind of a constant moisture level. Not too wet, not too dry, because our soil has a bit of a clay content in it. Not only the surface soil, but actually the subsoil is what you really need to be overly concerned about. And try to keep the moisture levels constant so we don't have this shrinking and swelling and shrinking and cracking in of the house, and shrinking and swelling and shifting and noises at night and so on.
Did you hear that? What was that?
What was that pop? What? So try to keep that moisture level fairly constant. It's good for your shrubs, too. And maybe that's one reason why we've adapted this shrub planting around the house is to monitor that and to keep it pretty much the moisture levels pretty constant. So anyway.
Larry, I think we do have a caller, so to cut you off there, but we'll go ahead and get to this call really quick. Good morning. How can we help you on the Green Country Gardener?
Hey, good morning. I had a question for Larry. Just recently bought a house on 5 acres and it has a pretty good stand of Bermuda,
yes.
But there's also a lot of what I call, for lack of a better word, clump grass, you know, just big, hard.
Hard fescue, KY31, no doubt.
Yeah.
Kentucky 31.
What I was trying to figure out is if there is a method other than just hand digging up the stuff to you know, get rid of that and, you know, let the Bermuda take over. But anyway, any suggestions?
Yes, the fescue grass typically in the wintertime is somewhat more actively growing than Bermuda grass, as evident by the green spots in there. And you can attack it with some glyphosate or Roundup applied specifically to it. And the beauty of Roundup is that it's absorbed through the leaves of the plant. And after about 7 days, it degrades to the point where it's kind of useless in the soil. So it's opportune this time of year to do some specific control of the grasses or unwanted green weeds in the wintertime.
Okay. Now, would you just spot spray that stuff, or would you do a overall application?
I would say if you had an infestation, you might want to consider an overall. But typically, if you just have a spot here and there, I'd just do a specific application at this point.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you.
And another thing you can do is put a pre-emergent down in about the St. Patrick's Day to help control any further sprouting of the fescue. And fescue is a cool season grass, and the seeds can remain resident in the soil for a long period of time. So for a few years, you might consider doing a pre-emergent application in the fall as well, because being a cool season grass, this is when they typically begin to grow.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
So, yeah, being proactive and aware like he is, and kind of knowing what to do, can really get a good healthy grass. Now, Bermuda grass is a warm season grass. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we need to apply the fertilizers while it's actively growing. It really won't use it right now. So don't get slickered into buying fertilizer. that won't do any good. So you want to wait until, say, even May. I don't fertilize mine until May or so, when it really begins to be actively growing and we know it's going to be consistently warm. Mm-hmm. Then it can grow it and take advantage of the fertilizer and really grow very well.
Right.
And buy some extra edger blades, too.
While you're at it, might as well, right?
While you're at it, yeah, because you'll need them.
Anyway. It's going to get rough.
It's going to grow. So, yeah, so do that. And also on your grasses, you want to refrain from dethatching at this point also.
Okay.
Dethatching and scalping are two different things. Scalping cleans off all the stuff on the top and kind of shaves a little bit. Dethatching gets in there and really gets all the thatch out. Yeah, you'll get just bucket loads of thatch if you use, say, a verticut mower. Mm-hmm. Or a mower with a dethatching blade on it. You can get those at the big box stores. They have dethatching blades, and it'll get all that extra thatch out. I do that to my yard about every 3 years.
Okay.
And you get just bucket loads of stuff, and I rake it up and throw it in the garden beds. Makes a good mulch too.
Right.
But anyway, so you want to about every 3 years or so do a good heavy dethatch, but you can do a scalping every year just to maintain it. But it's too early.
Right.
Right now, if you've got a mower and it's showing some age, you might consider tuning it up, perhaps. Perhaps a new spark plug, a good oil change, sharpen the blade, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And most of the engines on the mowers have electronic ignition, so there's no points or anything to worry about. So that should be okay. But the spark plug might need to be replaced. And I do mine every year, new spark plug, new air cleaner, and all that. Change the oil before you start on it, and it just runs like a top then.
You've got to take care of your equipment.
They don't ask for very much, really.
Right.
So, and if it's difficult to start, you might consider having the carburetor cleaned or taking it apart and cleaning it yourself, perhaps. But that can be done also.
Yeah.
But you don't want to struggle with it and get mad with it and throw it to the curb.
You want it to be happy with you.
Exactly.
Happy mower, happy life. That's how the saying goes, right?
So, yeah. So, really. Anyway, so make sure your mowing equipment is up to par and all that before spring comes on. Change the oil in it and get it ready to go. If you use old oil that's been subjected to heating and cooling and condensation and water and stuff in it, you'll probably wind up going buying a new mower.
Yeah.
Halfway through dethatching.
Yeah. Yeah, this will sound good.
So as far as grass is concerned, not much to do with it right now. In another 2 weeks or so, it'll be time for the first fertilization of fescue grass. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of really nice-looking fescue lawns here in town, so it'll be time to begin fertilizing that pretty soon, too.
Yeah, awesome. We were talking about shrubs too before we got to that caller.
Okay.
Was there anything else you wanted to mention about the shrubs?
Your shrubs, just make sure they're pretty well watered at this point going into the cold. Some of the species, say the dwarf or the nandinas and the dwarf nandinas and all that, they could get damaged by the real cold. Make sure they're watered real well going into the cold weather. So, and they should do okay.
Okay.
But the worst thing you can do on your shrubs, you got a lot of money invested in those. The worst thing you can do is not water them prior to a cold spell.
Okay.
So don't worry about fertilizing them. Maybe if your mulch is gone, you might want to consider getting some mulch to help moderate that soil temperature. And we've got some time before it's going to get really cold. Today would be a good day.
Today would be a very good day, considering how cold it's going to get in the next few days to come and next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with Larry Glass. Larry, I think we'll take another break. We'll be right back with the show.
Okie doke.
You've heard it said, I saw it on the radio. Well, that's true. But now the radio can be your computer, your smartphone, tablet, or any internet-connected device. Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner, and you won't miss a minute of news, sports, or entertainment. You can take us with you anywhere in the world. We're AM 1400, FM 93.3, K1, the one you trust, and your constant online companion.
Painters True Value and Dewey always have good bargains each month. For February, for the do-it-yourself projects, check out the 37-piece DeWalt screwdriving set with case for $14.99, regularly priced at $26.99. A 34-piece DeWalt socket set, 1/4-inch and 3/8-inch drive for $29.99, regularly $44.99. And Dremel has a variable-speed 24-piece rotary toolkit at Painters for $49.99, regular price $69.99. Save on these and other great bargains at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
How many times have you asked yourself, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Just call the Weatherline Forecast Service, 918-336-2900, and find out. You get the forecast, plus the time and temperature from the studios of News Talk 1400 K1. The Weatherline is brought to you by Oklahoma Wesleyan University. We update the Weatherline as our forecast changes, so you're always up to date. Put that number in your phone and call 918-336-2900.
What if the music stopped? If the familiar voices were silenced? If there were no breaking news updates? What if your companion and connection to your community came with a monthly fee? Don't worry, we're free local radio with you wherever you go. Celebrating 100 years and looking forward to the next 100. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local TV and radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Show. I'm Garrett Giles. Joining us is Larry Glass. Numbers to call if you have any... got stuck into consumer calls mode there for a minute. If you have any questions for Larry Glass about gardening this week, you can call us right now at 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, you have any apples or berries or... things you want to sell on Country Gardener this morning? I'm just giving you a hard time.
Well, maybe I might have something I might want. But, anyway, golly, what should I plan for before spring?
Yeah.
A lot of people ask. Well, know what insects are getting busy.
What insects?
Actually, we were at a house and there was a kind of a wooden stump on the ground. It was just real loose. It rotted out. And underneath it was a whole bunch of sow bugs. You know, roly-polies?
Right.
Yeah, they're eating the dead stuff, so they're saprophytic insects. They don't hurt anything, so.
Right.
But anyway, so.
Still a lot of them, like an army?
Yeah, it's like crazy. These things rolled out of it, you know. These
rolled
down the hill. You know? That's why they call them roly-polies. They curl up. They're related to shrimp, actually. So.
The more you know.
Yeah, yum.
Yeah. I don't know if a roly-poly would be yum, but thinking of shrimp, definitely you would think yum.
Yeah, anyway. Anyway, for spring, know when your insects are going to be getting busy. We talk about this all the time, and we have a certain set of bugs that eat stuff here.
Right.
Especially your new plants. I try to do a landscape plan that really is kind of immune to that, but still, every plant seems to have a little bit of susceptibility to something, mm-hmm. with the exception of Nandinas, but
that's exactly
nonetheless.
Right.
The first thing we really need to be worried about perhaps might be grub worms, of course.
Okay.
And they can attack your shrubs as well. They can weaken your shrubs somewhat. If your shrub is looking lethargic and it's got a little wiggle in the stem, you know, you can move it around, perhaps something eating on the root system. And another thing to be concerned about is wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
We do some landscapes here and there out in the country and other parts, you know, that have some deer. And we were at a house that's actually right in the middle of town. But it's surrounded by all these trees. You don't even know it when you're there. It's amazing. You just let the, we planted some hollies out there.
Mm-hmm.
And well, the deer did a good job of trimming them up.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. The natural trimmers.
So what can I plant there that they don't like? Well, they don't like laurels, cherry laurels, autolucans laurel, those kind of things, because they're kind of toxic and used. They don't like too well. And they don't like Nandinas. But most of the time, they don't like hollies. But apparently, this was a delectable delight that they couldn't resist. So they went after the holly plants.
Oh, goodness.
So.
The whole herd.
It's funny, though, that it all even on the went up on the top. They didn't touch that. And it's growing real well up there. The whole idea was to do some screening, and it's...
Right.
It's right. You see right through it. But above, well, it hides the sky and the birds, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you kind of... Well, really, we didn't plan on being in the middle of town. You wouldn't think you'd have that problem, but it was.
Mm-hmm.
And golly, I see them going up and down my street, too, now and then.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so...
And you're talking about the plant,
the deer,
right?
The deer.
Oh, the deer. The deer.
Yeah. So anyway, for the shrubs, watch your watering. Maybe some transplanting. It's a good time of year for that, perhaps. And you might want to use a little bone meal and some iron, perhaps, on your hollies and cut back your crepe myrtles right now. Good time to cut those back, too. You got between now and, say, the end of May to cut back your crepe myrtles to really be concerned about. But there's a long time period when they can be pruned without causing really any harm to the plant at all. So you might consider doing that also. I've got a big old crepe myrtle in front of my house. I need to get an extension ladder.
Oh, wow.
Get way up in there, that thing, to try to cut the tips off to make it bush out a little bit more at the top. So
that's nice. That's big.
Maybe next week I'll be doing the show from the emergency room.
Oh, let's hope not. Let's hope not. You'd be safe, Larry.
I have to get up and prune those tips off the crepe myrtle. So anyway, iron also on your holly. That's kind of an important thing. If you have, say, Yopon hollies, Burford hollies, things like that, we tend to plant those fairly close to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the calcium carbonate from the concrete leaches out into the soil and causes an increase in the soil pH.
Okay.
Contrary to what the hollies really like. So, and I always add extra iron sulfate to my holly bushes, the dwarf yopons, and they always look so lush and shiny and full by adding that to it. Just be careful not to get it on your sidewalk, because you'll have a orange.
Yeah, very orange.
It'll stain the driveway and the sidewalk. So, but anyway, it's a good idea to do that. And it takes a little while for that to get into the plant. So it's getting really close to time to do that, too. So also, pre-emergent for weeds. And you really need to know how to water your plants, too. Don't overwater them. Golly, I was at a house, and they had some red maples. And they had this big bunch of roots on the surface of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the soil's not bad next door. They had red maples, no problems. But on this particular house, it actually gets mounded up. It's weird looking.
Right.
And they water so much. And the plant doesn't develop a deep root system. There's too much water can cause that a problem, too. And then they become dependent on the water.
Right.
If you water too shallow and too often. And it can cause the growth to be, the deep root growth really not to occur, because it doesn't have to. So waiting for a big storm to just topple them over.
Yeah.
But
next
anyway,
week
that, now. I guess the point is, you make sure when you do water fairly infrequently and water deeply. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that for quite some time. And it's good for your plants to develop a root system, because they can tolerate the dry weather better if they have a more extensive root or deep root system. So water deeply and infrequently. And on your shrub beds, almost time for pre-emergence. But anyway, not quite yet. Like I said, there's a whole lot of nothing going on right now.
Right.
In the garden. So landscape plan, it's a good time to do some planning. So call and set up an appointment for me to come out and look at your yard and give you some ideas for what can be done in the landscape in the upcoming spring.
How do people get a hold of you?
Just call us at the nursery, 333-4091, and talk to anybody and just set up an appointment. And we got to have an appointment book and try to be there promptly on time to the appointments. So we can talk about what you might want to be doing in the landscape, how elaborate you might want to be with the landscape, and how much you might want to spend. And I can come up with some ideas and give you a plan and an estimate so you can see exactly what's coming up.
Right. That's awesome.
So, it's kind of cool to see your house in 3D, too.
Yeah, it's like, wow, I didn't know it could look like that.
So anyway, you might want to consider getting that. And it doesn't cost anything. I mean, the landscape plan is a good, it's kind of a roadmap to tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Which we need most of the time.
Sure. So anyway, back in planning for the spring, know your plant's requirements. How is your soil? How much mulch do I need? Mm-hmm. If you want a 3-inch layer of mulch, you divide your surface area by 12 to get how many 3 cubic foot bags you need. So you can call the nursery. We can deliver it right to your driveway, no charge. And say, calculate how many bags you need, and that'll tell you.
Right.
So divide the surface area by 12. That's how many bags you need. Say if you got 100 square feet. That's at what, 8 bags? Something like that, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Be close. But anyway.
Doing it off the top of our head, math-wise.
Yeah, it'd be 96. Well, it'd be, you know, well, you need 4 more square feet, so you might kicking a little bit more.
Just a little bit more.
Just get one extra bag.
Yeah.
Because you're going to drop one on the way.
Yeah, maybe.
So anyway, get that. Kind of the same thing with compost. We divide that by a similar number to arrive at a compost amount. And then when we do the preparation, we might not need it all. Mm-hmm. So anyway. So getting a landscape plan, getting some mulch in, something you can easily do. And then proper preparation, like I said, the compost, use the same formula, divide the area by 12 to get how many bags of compost you need. They say it's a 2 cubic foot bag, but it's every much of 3 cubic feet if I ever lifted it. Mm-hmm. So it's about the same number. Okay?
Okay.
House plants right now, they're starting to grow due to extra sunshine. On that rare day this time of year when the sun shines, like it's cloudy today.
So cloudy.
And then you look at the forecast all week, cloudy, cloudy, cloudy. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't try to encourage any growth on your house plants at this point because there's not enough light for them to grow. So you might want to just kind of status quo on those, right?
Right.
Okay. And same thing with trees, a good time to prune, almost time to fertilize. We're just a squeak away from that. The middle of this month's a good time for that. And anytime is a good time to plant new ones. We planted some trees this week. And we built a retaining wall, some retaining walls. We did some paving this week. I did lighting system this week. It's a different houses. Mm-hmm. And some irrigation this week, too. And some concrete formwork and stuff. Busy. We're so busy this time of year.
Yeah.
So they do a lot of stuff. So anyway. Okay.
So Larry, you were talking about things to do planning ahead before the spring. What are some new plants to look for this spring?
New plants to look for this spring. Golly, there's all kinds of new perennials out there too. Mm-hmm. And you might consider, we have some new hellebores for some perennial show this year. And they're starting to bloom right now. I was at a house where the perennial hellebores was starting to bloom. So I said, did you know these are getting ready to bloom? Well, actually, we noticed that last week. And this week, they're just a little bit further along. Their development is kind of arrested. But somehow they know it's going to get cold.
Mm-hmm.
So they've not really progressed much from one week to the next. So anyway, hellebores is a perennial plant that likes the shade.
Right.
And good soil, et cetera, et cetera. So,
and some warmer temperatures.
We're not really meant for Oklahoma, so we
right.
We got to prepare our soil accordingly. Mm-hmm. So, new shrubs are concerned. There's not a whole lot. There might be a new azalea color or something, and new rose or two, but not a this year. Not a whole lot of new stuff coming out, really.
Okay.
So, anyway.
If anybody has any questions here for Larry Glass here on the Green Country Gardener Program, the numbers to call are 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, I think we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey del Burrito Express, Price's Old Fashioned Meat Market, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Avila's Mexican Buffet, Speedy Drinks, and KFC, all in Bartlesville. CV's in Dewey and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 K-Rig.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7-gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5-inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday or by appointment.
911, what's your emergency?
People keep saying to me, like, hey, what's going on? But I have no idea.
Okay, yes, I can confirm you are indeed clueless.
Dang it.
I know just what you need. Here you go.
Start your day in 6 with Bill and Tom. Breaking news, in-depth weather, sports with Evan Farbach.
People need to be armed with knowledge.
Weekday mornings 6 to 10 on K1, the one you trust.
If you work or live in the downtown area and are experiencing difficulty at times to find a place to park, worry no more. There is downtown parking available at 2nd and Osage that's convenient to downtown businesses and apartments. For more information and monthly rates, call 336-1001. That's 336-1001.
Back to the Green Country Gardener. I'm Garrett Giles. Larry Glass is joining us. Numbers to call if you have any questions for Larry in terms of what's happening in the garden and other questions. Feel free to call us at 918-336-1400, or you can reach us at the toll-free number 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry, how can people save up on water in the landscape?
Well, saving water is really quite important because water's getting kind of expensive, so
yeah.
You might consider a xerographic, what we call xerographic type plants.
Xerographic.
Take the term from Xerox, dry copy, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there are a certain set of plants that are like that, and one couple of them that come to mind are, of course, the rosemary and the lavender plants. They're very drought tolerant, mm-hmm. as are crepe myrtles.
Gotcha.
You see a lot of crepe myrtles going around in shopping centers and whatnot that just bloom and do just fine without any water.
Right.
So you might consider some of those also, and some of the hollies too. Yeah, a well-established holly plant, say a well-established Nellie R. Stevens holly, is quite drought tolerant as well also.
Okay.
Chances are they don't get watered, and some of the variegated privets and so on. Once they're established, they're quite drought tolerant. And a lot of times one of the characteristics that will indicate a more drought tolerant plant is a glossy leaf.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing you can, and also prepare your soil deeply and prepare your soil properly so the roots can get down in there and really take over.
Right.
If you were to plant, say, a lavender plant in the clay, its roots really won't go into the clay very well.
Okay.
So you want to make sure it's really good and loose so the roots can exploit the space and have more area to take up soil. And mycorrhizal fungus also help a whole lot to help that. They sort of augment the root system somewhat.
Right. Awesome.
So,
I think we have a caller, Larry.
Okay.
We could take that real quick. Good morning. How can we help you on the Green Country Gardener Program?
All right. Great. Larry, I am the Hollywood juniper guy, and you told me to trim my junipers back in the middle of December or the middle of January.
Yep.
Somewhere in there.
Uh-huh.
And I have a question for you about it.
Yeah.
These are pretty tall, about 6, 7, 8 feet tall. How far back can I prune them?
Well, junipers have the ability to regenerate from being pruned rather sternly. So, you can.
So I could virtually cut them back to the ground. I mean, not to the ground.
Not that far. They could be cut back rather sternly, and they'll come
about
back.
Half?
Probably. You won't have much to look at though when you do that, but they will recover.
Well, that's true. I trimmed them once before, and it was in the wrong time of the year, and the whole branch died.
Yes.
Now the rest of them are fine, but that whole branch died, and that's what I'm trying to keep from happening.
Yeah, I wouldn't go overboard right away. Just if they're too big, you might. Yeah. My goodness. You might cut them.
Okay, well,
I wouldn't cut them back too far, but actually I've had personal experience from the power company cutting back some junipers. They just cut them back to the nibs, and they came back.
They just pop right back up.
Yeah, pop right back. Yeah, they're up and growing again, so.
There you go. All right, sir. Well, I guess it's time to trim them then, isn't it?
You bet. All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the native junipers will have a storm come through and then we'll snap them in half, and they just grow again. So they're very adaptable plants.
All right.
Somewhat flammable too.
Oh wow,
that's what I understand. So you be careful around the campfires and whatnot. So,
Larry, we do have another caller for you.
Okay.
Good morning. How can we help you?
I know I have asked you this about a year ago. And how is a new method of getting rid of armadillos?
Armadillos, I don't know. Well, we have some repellents at the nursery that will do a pretty good job. And if you know where they've burrowed into the ground, where the den is, you can build what is called a blind trap. In other words, you get a have a heart trap, one of those live traps that trap the bug, not a bug, but animal. Yes, they look like a big bug. and you put a corral around it with, say, some plywood or something. So the only way they can get out of their burrow is through the trap. And then just kind of walk through it, get stuck. So that's one way to control them. And another way is through repellents, you know, to repel them away. And another way is with a shotgun.
Right.
And probably the fourth way is to move.
Well.
But armadillos, because they move around so much.
Yes.
It's very difficult to control them. And one way is to put a fence around some plants that might get damaged by them. If you do have a lot of them.
Yes.
And perhaps they'll go on to greener pastures.
Oh, now this trap, where do you come up with that? I mean,
from personal experience. I had one in my backyard, and I consulted with somebody here in town. How do I get rid of this silly thing? He said, do a blind trap. I said, what is that? So you get have a heart trap, and have it so the only way he can get out of his nest is to go through the trap. And I did that, and it worked. I caught the guy.
You mean you can buy the trap?
Yeah, they have live traps, yes.
I think what about Atwood's your dog getting in it? You can just keep him in at night? And
well, if it's a little dog, he might want to get in there. But really, you don't have to bait the trap at all. It's just a matter of the only way the animal can escape is through the trap. You got to keep in mind they're not overly smart. And if they run into a wall, they're just going to go the other way. And then finally, they'll say, well, I can go this way. And then they get trapped in it. So it's called a blind trap.
Do you get them like at Lowe's or somewhere?
I don't know if they have any at Lowe's. I think they have some at Tractor Supply and Atwood's, places like that.
Oh, all right.
So you need a
try them.
You need what is called, say, a have a heart trap. Those, and you need a pretty good sized one too. You need something that, say, a dachshund would fit into, a small dog would fit through. Because armadillos can get fairly large.
All right. I'll check with Tractor Supply, and maybe they can help me out.
And then if you have... if you have some plywood strips or some 2x12s, you can build a corral around. Do you know where the armadillo nest is?
Well, no, not exactly.
Well, you have to know that first.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
All right.
So you have to kind of look around and look for a burrow in the ground. And chances are it's an armadillo.
All right. I'll try this because you have to be fast with a gun. You keep up with them.
Yeah, but you do want to. And the blind trap is one that does work, and it's harmless to the little critter. You can throw it in the back of the truck and drive to Minnesota or maybe drive to Nebraska or somewhere, somewhere out of state and get rid of them.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Armadillos. We did a lawn for somebody one time. Really nice fescue lawn. And a sprinkler system, the whole works. I got a call the next morning and it was literally torn up from the critters.
Wow.
So we went back in and put it back together and hit it with a lawn roller. And again, got it looking pretty good.
Good.
So anyway, they can be a problem.
Yeah.
And they tend to move around a lot. So, and they really don't eat bait or anything. So you just almost have to know where their nest is and catch them with a blind trap.
Hopefully they will stumble right into it.
Yeah. They won't go into it either. You have to know where they live and put a corral around it.
Gotcha.
And make it so the only way they can get out is through the trap.
Gotcha. Makes sense to me.
Yep.
Larry, let's take a break. We'll be right back. We'll round up the show here.
Although a Republican, Frank Phillips was a man who wisely hedged his bets. And so it was that even though he backed the other candidate, in December 1935, he invited Elliott Roosevelt, the son of President Franklin Roosevelt, to Woolla Rock. According to reports, the menu for the day was elk barbecue and beer. Mr. Phillips had already cooked up a plan to make the weekend a bit more special for Roosevelt and for the other guests. Roosevelt wanted to shoot a buffalo, so Frank gave him a rifle and out they went to stalk their prey. Elliott Roosevelt was considered an excellent shot, but as the herd of massive animals roared past, Roosevelt fired once and then twice, but no buffalo hit the ground. Frank's ranch manager, Griff Graham, seized the gun from Roosevelt, took quick aim, and killed the buffalo. Roosevelt was embarrassed to have been such a poor shot in front of friends and his distinguished host, and he took a good-natured ribbing for his shooting skills throughout dinner, when finally Mr. Phillips, roaring with laughter, admitted they had loaded the gun with two blanks. That evening, Mr. Phillips had to leave the ranch for a meeting in Chicago, but Roosevelt remained behind to try again, this time with live ammunition. The next day, Roosevelt wired Frank Phillips the following message: 1,600 pounds and a beauty, and this one only took one shot. The magic of Woolla Rock, just as it is today. Come see us soon, and welcome home to Woolla Rock.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results.
I'm Shelley Goolsby with Jericho Tile and Carpet and Stone Outfitters. We think radio is a great way of advertising. If you want superb results, you should use radio too. Radio gets results.
Radio gets results.
Radio.
Radio gets results. That's radio.
Back with the Green Country Gardener program with Larry Glass. Larry, got a couple minutes left in the show. What's going on?
Golly, going on at the nursery. We're getting all kinds of inventory in right now. Some stuff for the garden. Some new means by which you can control insects in the garden. We're trying or striving to go with mostly organic or environmentally friendly.
okay.
sort of stuff. So anyway, come by, check it out. We're stocking the shelves right now, getting ready for spring.
It's right around the corner.
Right around the corner, you bet. So anyway, we're stocking all that stuff. So come on, just come on out and check us out. So got a lot of good stuff. Anyway, Green Thumb Nursery over on the Water Road, halfway between Madison and Washington Boulevard, right there. So anyway.
Okay.
So we got stuff to help control weeds in beds too, some pre-emergent mulch. Mulch is a very good job of controlling weeds in the beds. I use a lot of it in my yard. Mm-hmm. And actually, I recycle the stuff from the lawnmower. And it does a good job of controlling weeds too. So,
right.
And having some, you know, a good healthy shrubs too, kind of shades them out a little bit. But some of them get away. Mm-hmm. And so I just spend the time just to pull them up, throw them in the yard and suck them up with the mower and put them back in the beds and they grow again. It's an endless cycle.
It's an endless cycle indeed, yeah.
But anyway, come and check us out for new stuff coming up this year. So,
yeah.
Anyway. Also, you might want to consider helping out the birds a little bit, too. I keep a steady supply of sunflower seeds out for the birds. They really like that. Yeah. And I was talking with a customer about the cardinals and the bluebirds and how they really like to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
So help them out, too, and keep them fed. And don't forget to put water in the bird bath.
Mm-hmm.
So come check us out at Green Thumb Nursery. We got some great wind chimes and all kinds of good stuff coming up. And by all means, when you're out there in the gardening, make sure to keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
Awesome. Thank you, Larry. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to the Green Country Gardener program here on your radio on this Saturday morning.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Portalsville, Pawhuska,